Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today we want to continue to speak on the prayer of commitment. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 tells us, praying always with all prayer, underline all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the Bible talks about all prayer. The Amplified Version says that all manner of prayers. So prayer is in types. There are types or manner of prayers. In other words, prayer is not one thing. It is just like a fruit. A fruit is not one thing. Fruit is orange, mango, banana, etc., etc. But we can call them by the generic name of fruit. Prayer is a generic name. It's a general name, so to speak, for an activity that believers do. It's not just one thing. So you cannot mix them together. Okay, the Bible says over here that we should pray with all manner of prayer. It means that we must pray all types of prayers unto God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Alright, casting all your cares upon him. Once again, the Amplified Version of the Bible talks about all manner, all types of cares, all your cares upon the Lord. Not some of it, but all of it. So, this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us about the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment. So there are types of prayer. We have the prayer of worship. We have the prayer of intercessions, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, prayer of commitment, and united prayer. Seven types of prayer. So we are looking at the prayer of commitment for today. What I want us to look at is to understand when to pray the prayer of commitment. When to pray the prayer of commitment, and then I will show you how to offer this prayer, how to offer the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment is a prayer that is offered once and for all. You don't have to repeat it. If you repeat it, it's not a sin, but you don't have to repeat it, you know, because of what? Because God cares for you. Let me show you something in the book of Matthew, and then chapter 6, and then verse 7 or so, Jesus Christ was teaching on the subject of prayer when he said these words in Matthew chapter 6, and then verse 7. He said that, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You know, sometimes believers fall into the temptation of the heathen. You know, unbelievers, they also pray. They pray. But the Bible tells us that they think that they will be heard for their many words, for their vain repetition. There is a type of prayer where you do not have to repeat. Why do you not have to repeat? Why? Because God cares for you. That's a prayer of commitment. Wow. He cares for you in such a way that when you keep repeating it, it's as if he doesn't care for you. As if he hasn't heard it and he doesn't care that you have that thing. That is what Jesus said. You know, says that for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Isn't it true that sometimes believers think that they will be heard. God will move when they repeat their prayers. They repeat. They use many words. That is where they get into a certain mode of prayer, where instead of taking it easy, resting in the fact that God loves them, they just keep on some going through some antics they don't have to go through. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves us. And that is what we have to understand. If you understand that God loves you, God cares for you, then when you tell him something, you can rest. When you don't rest in some prayers, it tells God that you don't think he cares enough for you. So I want you to know that it's not your many, many words. And people, they will pray about the thing. They will pray about it, like say in English, and then they will turn the thing into tongues. Kind of. I watched a certain film. It was a Chinese movie. And these people, they fought for everything. Among the Shaolin students, they fought for everything. There was a cup. One person was holding. See, they will fight for the cup with water. They want to drink. They will fight that. And then they will hold the cup. And then they will start again. And they will be doing it. I said, small water you want to drink. God doesn't want Shaolin children. It's true. Yeah. You think you'll be heard for your many words. But when you pray and you tell God that this is a care that I have, it's enough. It's enough. Hallelujah. But sometimes we get the impression that if you don't change it in tongues and speak with many words and then maybe go through some other, every time you are praying about it, every time you say the more you pray about it, the more God will do it. You are just going against what Jesus said. That don't be, when you are praying, don't be like the heathen who are repeating vain repetitions because they think they will be heard for their many words. Our Lord cares for us so bad. He cares for us. This is our language. He cares for us so bad. He cares for us so well. I mean, we do not have to sweat it. In certain cases, I want to show you. The first situation in which to pray the prayer of commitment is situations that does not really depend on man. Situations that does not really depend on man. There are some situations that do not really depend on man. In other words, men can do something, but at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it's not what men do that will be anything. Let me give you examples of such situations. One is relationships. Relationships. I'm talking about relationships that is going to lead into marriage. Proverbs chapter 19 and then verse 14. What does it say? It says that houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. Wow. So, gentlemen, if you want a prudent wife, it's not how sweet your words are. You get a foolish wife with raps. Aha. It is not necessarily how wealthy you are. You will get a chopping wife. But a prudent wife, the Bible says, is from the Lord. It's not how nice you have dressed. Have you seen some people, they don't dress any good. But, man, you know what I'm talking about. You don't dress well, but you see that, hey, how come this lady married this guy? Sometimes you think about it, and you think, and you think, and you can't understand. So, hey, the world is strange. Because this one, it doesn't really depend on man. You can do all of the antics and talk about the fact that you were born in the UK, you know, and go through some things. Every month you go to Paris and you come back and stuff like that. You don't get a prudent wife like that. So, some relationship issues, you know, relationship issues, it doesn't really depend on man. Those things, you just have to commit them to God. You don't have to go, my wife. No, you are wasting your time. You are doing vain repetition. Just tell God, Lord, I like a good woman. I like to marry. Please, bring that person my way at your time. Bring that person and relax. Hallelujah. And God is going to do it. You don't have to go through tantrums and struggle and all that. Hallelujah. That is the kind of prayer that I pray though. I'm not teaching you something that I have not practiced. I'm teaching you something that is real to me. Because I told God about some things I wanted to have before I got married. And by God's grace, I got there. And then I told him about what I'm talking to you about, you know. And God brought the person my way. I didn't go about proposing to this one, and then they bounced me. They were proposing to this one, and they bounced me. You know what I'm talking about? They proposed like 5 times. The 5th time, then God becomes gracious. No friend, nobody, nothing like that. God brought the person my way. I can't give you details. Do you know the Bible says that God brought Eve to Adam? It was the same thing. It's not like, oh, God is gracious. God brought. When I say God brought, I mean literally. And I told her, and she said yes. It's not like, well, I'm going to do something. No. Hallelujah. So watch it. God cares for you. He cares for you. And then another example of a situation where you pray the prayer of commitment is for trials. Look at the book of Psalm 105 and then verse 18 to 19. Psalm 105, 18 to 19. God is wonderful. God is gracious. You know, let me tell you the end of the story so that you see where I'm coming from as far as committing things that you care about to God and God fixing it for you. A time came about this relationship thing that before God brought the person my way, that I was praying the Shaolin way. You understand? The patapa type of thing. I was praying like that with somebody. We were praying. Sometimes you pray, our shirt will be off. Hey, serious. Praying, see sweat, praying. And then, because God wanted to teach me something, for the first time in my life, God just stopped my tongues. Stopped. I'm sure that he was just looking at me and he said, shut up, my son. Shut up. You don't have to go on with this thing. I couldn't speak in tongues again. When he stopped me like that, when I was praying with this, my prayer part, he stopped me like that and he spoke the person to me. So this is the first time God has spoken to me like that before. So I stopped my friend. I say, hey, God has spoken to me. And he asks, what did he say? Who was it? Who is it? And all that. And I mentioned it to my friend. And he said, yes, God has told him, but he wanted God to tell me myself. That was the end of the prayer. But you see, I'm saying this to say that sometimes, you know, when you commit it to him, it's okay. Don't go into a situation God will say, hey, shut up. You've told me. You know, God can tell you that. Shut up, my son. Shut up. You see, as for us, when we say shut up, we think that it is only when we are angry that we say shut up. No, it's not like that. God can cry to you, shut up, out of love. Abba, this is it. Say, wow. No wonder he showed me, he brought the person my way. And I told the person once, that was it. Never proposed to any woman, never did any antics with anybody. Hallelujah. Trials. Yeah, I needed to give you the complete picture so that you see that what I'm telling you is real. It's something I've gone through. So Psalm 105, yes, verse 18. He's talking about Joseph. He says that they hit his feet with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came to pass. That is, God's word came to pass for Joseph. The word of the Lord tried or tested him. You know, this is talking about Joseph when he was in prison, put in prison for interpreting a vision. I mean, for all his trouble. I mean, Potiphar's wife, trouble, and then interpret. He says that until God's word became manifest or became fulfilled in his life, the word of the Lord tried him. You know, Joseph was in a trial. A trial is a situation that God permits to come your way just to mature you and things like that. It's slightly different from temptation, you know. So Joseph was in a bad situation, or doing the right thing, cast into prison. The Bible says that Joseph was tried his best to get out of prison. For example, he told one of the people who interpreted the dream that when you go, because this dream is sure, you will surely be released from this prison that you are here with me in. But when you go, please remember me to the king. He did all the connect, all the human thing. But when, is it the butler? When he went, the Bible says that this man forgot Joseph, forgot him until a particular time that he remembered, there's somebody like Joseph. He told me that I should remember him to the king and all that. He can interpret dreams. And then Joseph was brought out to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and he got out.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
What I'm teaching us is that there are some situations that do not really depend on man, like trials. You know, when you are in, no matter, you can have all the faith, you can believe and all that, until God's time, God's word is going to try you. You can do all that you want to do, do all the human part, but it will not work because it's a trial and only God can take you out. That is why you commit such situations to Him. All right. And then protection. Another example of a situation that does not really depend upon human beings is protection. God cares for you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 12. Protection. God protects His children. He wants to protect us. Stop and come. He wants to protect us. Hallelujah. And we don't have to sweat it when it comes to protection. You don't have to go into too much kind of, He cares for you. He doesn't want you hurt. So you tell God, God, I'm going to so and so place. I commit myself to you that you protect me. I know you care for me. You don't let any bad thing happen to me. You protect me from the harm of the devil. I thank you that you so love me. You preserve me. I come back in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. That's okay. It's okay. You don't have to get to some place and say, hey, this protection credit, go here. And then you start again. You think by your many words, you're praying about it again and over and going to some Shaolin type of praying, then God is going to hear you. It's not like that. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I've persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against until that day, or against that day. The King James Version of the Bible says, see, I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know he loves me. And I am persuaded. Persuasion is a higher faith to believe in. Say, I am persuaded. I know him so much that I don't just believe in the fact that he will do what I've committed unto him, but I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day or until that day. You see, so you can commit certain situations to God once and for all because he cares for you, and you must be persuaded that he is able to keep you, or to keep that which you have committed unto him until a particular day. Paul was talking about the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of his coming. Okay? So, this is the first situation where you pray the prayer of commitment. where it doesn't really depend on man. You know, protection doesn't depend on man. You can say, I'm going to go in a V8 vehicle. I'm going to go in whatever. I'm going to have bodyguards. I'm going to have the best around and all that. Except God protects you. You can have all the FBIs around you, but a bullet will be put through your head. Yeah. So it doesn't mean that you should not go in the right vehicle. You should not have all the security. You should not do your human part. You know, you should do it. By the end of the day, you must know. As for protection, if you want to be protected, after you've done everything, tell God that it's not my V8 that can prevent situation. Have you heard people who have died in situations like that? Yeah. If you haven't heard, you are too young. Wonderful. So don't count on, well, I have a watchman there, 24/7 police guard and all that. No, it's not like that. I'm telling you, it doesn't work like that. It's God who protects. Hallelujah. So I've given you situations where you can pray the prayer of commitment. Number two, when to offer the prayer of commitment. Number two, prayers of commitment should be offered about bad situations that do not depend on you to solve. There are certain situations too, it doesn't depend on you to solve. It depends on man, okay, but not on you in particular. It may depend, there are situations that we have. It may depend on your parents to solve that situation, you know. It may depend on your pastor. It may depend on the president of your nation. It may depend on the other person, not on you, because you are not in a position to handle that situation. So what do? Do you get worried? No. All that you have to do is what? Commit it to God. Lord, I commit this situation to you and I rest in you, knowing that you are able to fix it. Touch people's heart. The right people to fix the situation. Let them fix it in the name of Jesus. And please rest in the Lord and he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. He cares for you. You don't have to worry about things that are beyond you. Jesus put it this way. You can't make the hair, whether white or black. So why are you worried? Let God take care of it. Hallelujah. There are some situations in Ghana, no matter how hard you preach, you can't solve it. Because the solution is not in you. It is maybe in a certain leader somewhere. He can rise up and say, let's do it this way and all that. It may depend on the parliament of your nation. You see, they can legislate and say that this is the direction we are going about this issue and all that. This is how we're going to handle it from this moment onwards. But it doesn't depend on you. You don't have to go into certain things about them. You understand when I say certain things? Otherwise, you go into very long prayers. There are some people, they have so long prayers that they don't have time to do anything, including even to take care of their children. They don't have time for their wife. They are praying. What are they praying about? Situations that does not depend on them. They spend all their youthful time handling certain things that they shouldn't handle. It's not in their power to handle. Hallelujah. All that they have to do is to commit it to God. Commit it to God. And then chart a life for themselves. But in the name of, well, we have to pray much and things like that. Jesus said, they think, you know, when Jesus was on earth, he didn't condemn long preaching. No. What he condemned was long prayers. People who pray for long with the aim that the long one will move God. Can you imagine Jesus? He wants us to pray, but he goes against long prayers, which has the aim or which is prayed. The longevity is based upon that. When we pray for long, for more hours, then God will see what we have put into it. That more hours has gone into it, and so he will answer. Isn't that what he said we should not do? Because he cares for us. Wasting our time, wasting everything, is wonderful. But that is not the kind of life God wants us to live. Doesn't want us to bury our heads somewhere and forget about our responsibilities to ourselves, to our parents, to our families. Hallelujah. So there are situations that doesn't depend on you. Don't go through somersaulting prayer. Don't somersault. Eh? Somersault 3 times about them. No. Don't go into tantrums. Don't have a frenzy about it. It's not necessary. have to. These are the situations that Peter said, committed once and for all unto him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. Can you carry the whole problem of the continent of Africa on you? Please have a life. Do your part. As for long preaching, pray long, preach long preaching. But just commit it to God. He will fix it, because you can't carry it, no matter how powerful and anointed you are. Number three, you'll do prayer of commitment for situations that depends on you to solve, but about which you do not know what to do. In other words, this third one, the first one doesn't really depend on man. The second one depends on man, but not on you. This third one depends on you, but you don't know what to do. You can get into situations, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't gotten there, let me say again that you are too young. You get to situations where you have to take an action. You have to do something, but you don't know what to do. It's so complex. You don't know what to do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You're committed to God. God, I have to take care of this by so and so time. I don't know how to handle the situation. I don't know how to go in and out. Please help me out. He cares for you. You will not be disgraced. He will give you such a wave of wisdom from above that people will shudder at how you resolve that situation. Hallelujah. You don't have to get gray hair, ladies and gentlemen, prematurely. It's not necessary. Somebody says, Pastor, you don't know what you are talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You don't have to age prematurely just because of certain responsibilities that you have. You have to learn not to be a worried, anxious person. Learn to carry things to God in prayer. He cares for you. Some of them, you don't even need to fast about it. Some people, out of I am shishi, do you know Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, it says that do not worry about anything, not some things, he says anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes human understanding, that human beings don't understand, is going to mount guard over your heart. Amen. He said, don't worry and pray. Sometimes we think that we should carry all our worries into prayer. Have you seen people like that? They are the people who pray the long prayer. He said, hey, Erase, Ebibi Manio, Ghana Manio, Erase. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what to do. In fact, the situation is so complex, you don't even understand why we are having all of these issues and all that. So why don't you stop worrying? When you stop worrying, and that is what you said, don't worry. That's number one. Number two, pray about it. He didn't say take the worry into prayer. Hallelujah. What about, Pastor, if you take the worry into prayer and all that, you are going to spend the whole day, and at the end of the day, you see that you are not that charged up even. Have you prayed and prayed and prayed, and at the end of that fasting time, you are more troubled. You feel drier. You feel that God is even not there. Hey! It's serious, oh. Because we have to approach it His way. He says, don't worry about anything. And then what? Pray and thank me, and my peace is going to come to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is real. There was a time that I didn't know what to do about something. So I said to God, God, hey, is this thing happening to me? Hey, wonderful. So I committed the situation to His hands. I remember very, very well. I was in Accra for a program somewhere, and in the guest house in which I was, I felt that God pulled it from me. Hey, it's wonderful. What a beautiful feeling. It feels good. When God Himself pulls the thing, that is where you want to worry, but you can't worry. Hey, what a feeling. I said, wow, it's so sweet to be in Jesus. He cares for us. He took that situation. It was a family situation. He just took it away. And I could understand Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. And the peace of God, the rest of God, it mounts guard that you want to worry. You see that the demon of worry wants to come, but there is a certain garrison. You understand? Some soldiers are standing around your mind and he cannot even touch it. Oh, God is good. He just took it. Just took it. So the thing was getting to me too much. I said, hey, this thing, how do I handle it? Wow. But God will do it for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.